You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of ICAC 2007, the 47th Annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy. The conference took place in Chicago, Illinois, from September 17th through September 20th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of the Body Pro. I'm in Chicago at ICAC 2007, one of the year's HIV conferences. Right now, I'm in the poster session, where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I will ask a few questions.
Hi, my name is Pablo Tebas. I work in the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and I am going to talk a little bit about a study that we did in collaboration in the AIDS Clinical Trial Unit. It's a study looking at antiretroviral treatment interruption and its effects on lipids and immune activation and cardiovascular risk. The reason why we did the study is an important study that was presented in the retrovirus conference, the SMART study, that tested two different strategies for managing HIV infection. One strategy was to continue antiretroviral therapy and go for an undetectable viral load for as long as possible, and the other one was what it was called treatment-sparing arm, basically trying to maintain high the CD4 cell count but using as little as possible of antiretroviral therapy. And one of the very surprising results in the study was that the patients that interrupted therapy unexpectedly high an increased incidence in cardiovascular events. And that didn't make a lot of sense because their cholesterol and their lipid fractions were going down, and they couldn't, I mean, we at that point, we generated several hypotheses of why this was happening. But that was an expected result of that study. So we decided to look at a study that we did in the ACTE, looking at treatment interruption and to see what happened with two things, with lipids and with immune activation. And what we saw in a study of 47 patients that stopped therapy after having well-controlled viral replication is that the lipid levels went down very quickly. The cholesterol levels decreased around 15%. The LDL cholesterol decreased 15%. And that's the bad cholesterol went down. So in theory, that is good for your heart. But the bad news is that the HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol, the one that protects you from cardiovascular disease, also went down. So at the end, the net effect when you discontinue therapy is you have a decrease on the bad cholesterol, but also a decrease on the good cholesterol, so at the end is a wash out. You really don't get a big benefit by stopping therapy in your lipids. The glucose and the insulin didn't change, and that was not a big surprise. The thing that we saw is that after treatment interruption, not surprisingly, there is a dramatic increase in immune activation. We look at that looking at two markers, CD38 and HLDR positive, which are markers on CD8 cells of immune activation. And also we look in plasma at tumor necrosis factor 2. And both parameters went up very quickly, immediately after treatment interruption. So what happens is when you interrupt treatment is that your lipids really doesn't change that much your cardiovascular risk. Your good cholesterol goes down, and your bad cholesterol goes down. At the end, it's a washout, but your immune activation goes up dramatically. And that's a situation that can increase, at the end, your cardiovascular risk. And this study might help explaining why, in the SMART study, in a 5,000-patient study, what they saw was an increase in cardiovascular events and not a decrease, which was what they were expecting. And that's basically the bottom line of our study and why we did it.
So another reason not to do a treatment interruption.
I think the study explains why the treatment interruption doesn't work in patients and why you can get an increase in cardiovascular events. Maybe in the future we will be able to control immune activation, but until we are able to do that, I don't think treatment interruption is a good idea.
Is there any understanding about why the immune activation happens?
Well, it's driven by viral replication. So when the virus replicates, any viral diseases, ongoing viral replication drives immune activation. Is a way the organism fight against the infection. It's difficult to control, but it's well known that these infections that produce that immune activation can be deleterious. In many infections, it's worse the response, the immunologic response, that the infection itself.
Papa, hi. Do we know that these immune markers are in themselves related to cardiovascular disease, or do we just know that they are generally sort of pro-inflammatory?
Yeah, C-reactive protein and other markers are more classically associated in epidemiologic studies, but these markers correlate well with other known markers.
Do they correlate with C-reactive protein?
We have not looked at C-reactive protein. We have frozen samples, and I suspect a reviewer of the paper will ask for that, but the money is tight, and we will do it if they ask us. But I think there are well-known markers of immune activation. Most immunologists use HLA-DR, CD38, and TNF receptor alpha-2 as classic markers of immune activation. So I think there are good markers for that.
Yeah, immune activation obviously is a fairly broad thing. There's immune activation, then there's pro-inflammatory, and then there's inflammation in the coronary arteries.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, but I don't know whether we've actually sort of...
Yeah, we don't have all the... I think what happens in this thing is that you go from a situation that you have a pro-atherogenic state with high lipids, high cholesterol, with people on treatment, low immune activation, and you flip it. You basically go to... not that much changes in lipids because your HDL goes down. And if you have developed a plaque in that situation, it creates instability and increases your cardiovascular risk. It's like having... I mean, people with MIs, they get MIs when they have an infection. They get MIs when they are in a situation of stress or inflammation. So that's, I think...
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah. It's curious that... we didn't think about this when the SMART trial was being designed.
I had to list my top 15 ICAC posters, and I put this one number one.
Really?
Thank you. Because I actually think this is really where we're going. You know, this is so... this with SMART and all the other stuff, it says treat everyone right away, don't wait. What's the point of waiting to 350? It's all kind of theoretical. Just treat everybody.
I mean, economics is tough.
Economics is tough,
but you have a good point in that maybe this kind of... unless we can control that, immune activation and the risk of not being on treatment is too... the price you pay is too high.
So we give everyone cyclosporine until they reach...
cyclosporine, we have tried that, and it didn't work either. So maybe something will do it. DNA vaccine. I mean, some immune therapy... because, I mean, what we're telling the patient, you're going to have to take these medicines for the next 50 years. It's not, I mean, we need to find other ways, but I think it's going to be very difficult to control, and it's, antiretroviral treatment is so efficacious in controlling that it's difficult to think that we're going to find something else that is going to be able to control that. Here we are 10 years on treatments, there are 24 approval antiretrovirals and only one immunomodulator. Mm-hmm. Thalidomide for the ulcers in the mouth.
Right.
And it doesn't work that well either.
Okay, well, thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on ICAC 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2007.